Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's passage is from Mark chapter 4. Hopefully you've been following along with us, but even if you haven't, it's not too late to get started in our New Testament reading plan. We've been just starting in the book of Mark. And again, today's chapter is Mark chapter 4. Let me read this for us. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. In his teachings he said to them, "Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. They have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. As I said before, the book of Mark is full of quick hitters, whether in the form of events such as healings or things that progress the narrative of Jesus' life, or in the case of today's chapter, teachings. Specifically in this chapter, Jesus teaches by telling a number of parables. He then explains the purpose of the parables, and then the chapter wraps with him casually calming a storm, just a day in the life of Jesus. We can most definitely dive into any one of these parables today, and there could be a lot of value in that. But rather than doing that, I think it could be helpful for us to gain a better understanding of what parables are and why Jesus used them as part of his ministry. And hopefully this will then contribute to your understanding of not just one parable, but all of them. At a very basic level, a parable is a metaphor. We've all learned what that is in school, right? It's a literary device, a figure of speech that refers to one thing by mentioning another. So, life is a highway. The student was a shining star. These are examples of metaphors. Parables were a common device used by teachers in Jesus' day, and we know from Scripture that it was one of Jesus' favorite tools as well. But look at the reason why Jesus used parables. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 says that Jesus was teaching the crowd many things in parables, and then jump down to verse 10. Some of the people around him, including the 12 disciples, seem a little bit confused about what he was trying to say, so they ask him to explain further, to which Jesus responds, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." The parables weren't just stories with moral lessons, kind of like Aesop's fables or, you know, stories that plenty of cultures have just to kind of teach a moral lesson. To paraphrase something the scholar N.T. Wright once said, Jesus's parables weren't earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Rather, they were theological teachings that unveiled or revealed little by little the secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God. Parables were teachings that revealed the secret of the kingdom of God. Now, I think it's fair to wonder, why did Jesus use parables? Couldn't he have just given a lesson? Because after all, it seems like people didn't always understand his parables. Wouldn't it have been easier or better if he just taught these lessons straight up? And sure, maybe. I think that's an interesting question. But as much as the parables were meant to reveal the secret of the kingdom of God, it was only to do so for some, not all. Notice how Jesus says in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Or to go back to verse 11, he says, "And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." I want to be very clear here. Jesus wasn't intentionally trying to exclude people. The parables are a metaphor teaching about the kingdom of God, which means that they're also an invitation to understand. They are an open door to draw people nearer to the truth and therefore to God. I like how Dr. Kenneth Bailey describes it. He says, quote, "A parable is an extended metaphor, and as such, it is not a delivery system for an idea, but a house in which the reader or listener is invited to take up residence. The listener or reader of the parable is encouraged to examine the human predicament through the worldview created by the parable." So a parable is an open invitation, one which some will accept, and others will ignore or even reject. Some will see or hear, but out of a disinterest or a rejection, they won't perceive, listen, or understand. Those who do see and hear, those who choose to make that decision, will have the opportunity to turn, understand the kingdom of God, and be forgiven, while those who don't, won't. But again, all who do receive this invitation will come to know the truth and be forgiven. This devotional has admittedly been more of a teaching so far than a typical Devo. So let me close out with this. Of course, it's important for us to understand concepts and teaching, and we should definitely seek to do so. I hope that each of you will wrestle with not only what I shared today, but this whole chapter, and wrestle with the ideas and concepts there. But in some ways, the important part is seeking to know and understand. I hope you get that distinction. It's good, it's important to understand, but in some ways, the important part is seeking to know and understand. It's not enough just to know concepts and just have it in our minds. There needs to be a longing to really know the meaning behind it and be shaped and formed by it. The kingdom of God is a mystery. Jesus doesn't shy away from that reality. But it's a mystery not in the sense that it's meant to remain hidden forever, but as an invitation for people to come and to seek to uncover and understand the kingdom of God, for there to be this active process of seeking to understand. In other words, as cryptic as the parables may sometimes seem to be, and it was often the case for Jesus' original listeners as well, The kingdom of God is available to all who desire to know. And so for us, let's continue to seek understanding. Again, like we saw in the passage, there were people among those listening, including the 12 that Jesus had handpicked, that didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was teaching. And so they asked. And I imagine that it's among those who asked that came to see and understand the kingdom of God. But we also know that there are plenty who didn't. Plenty who maybe heard and just walked away. Plenty who heard what Jesus had to say and were offended and they left. Let's be like those, like the 12 and the others, who asked, who sought after the truth. Let's not ignore the words of Jesus nor get discouraged by it, but instead let's be a people who really wrestle with the teachings of Jesus, as confusing or difficult as they may seem to be at times. Let's explore Jesus' words. To use that house metaphor from earlier, let's sit in his words, walk around and examine this metaphorical house. Let's become familiar with it. And especially as we continue to read through the book of Mark and throughout the entire New Testament this next year, let's seek to really understand the kingdom. Let's have those open ears to hear and eyes to see, so that we might not only gain knowledge or add information to our minds, but that we might know Jesus fully and his kingdom as well. With that, let me close this time in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, whether it's parables or other things, we know that for those of us who have read your word, that it's challenging. There are things that we don't fully understand or grasp for one reason or another. But Father, help us not to give up. Help us instead to press in, to really seek to understand, Lord. And we believe, Lord, from what you show us here in your word today, that for those who seek, we will find, will come to know, and the kingdom of God will be made known to us, Lord. And so, God, I pray, whether it's through this, you know, the series that we're in, and Mark, through this whole plan, and other times as well, that we would wrestle with your word, that we would seek to understand not only the concept and ideas, but to know you, and to know your kingdom, and to see it, and to hear it and live it out, Lord. So God, we thank you once again that you've given us your word. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.